And this morning, I would like to make an attempt to return to a little bit of normalcy for us, I guess. And so I want to resume our study through the Apostle Paul's letters. And if you remember, and it seems like it's so long ago now, but it's only been 2 weeks, but before the world decided to fall apart, we had just finished the second letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. As to what book comes next chronologically, there's different understandings. Some believe that it's the Corinthian letters. Others thought it was a letter to the churches in Galatia. As a church, the route I've chosen to take is to look at the book of Galatians next. So if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. Book of Galatians, we're going to start with chapter 1. Book of Galatians comes before Ephesians. I've always memorized it as Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, G-E-P-C, or go eat popcorn. Anyways, Galatians chapter 1. We'll start off right away, verse 1. Paul begins with his letter this way. He says, Paul, introducing himself, he says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. So what does Paul start with? He starts off his letter right away with a declaration of who he is, to remark on his position, his authority for writing this letter. And he starts off with, I am an apostle. I am an apostle. And what is an apostle? An apostle is a messenger who has been sent out with orders. Right? So Paul is saying, I am a messenger. I am a messenger. I have been sent out with very clear orders of what to do, what to say. And Paul makes this distinction, right? If you look, he says, Paul, an apostle, and he makes his distinction. In case it wasn't clear to you by now, he says, I am an apostle, and I was not sent from men, nor was I sent through man. Right? Paul makes it very clear. My apostleship, my position as a messenger comes directly through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So in other words, he says, I come with a message, and my message, this message, is from Jesus Christ and it's from God. And what I'm about to say, what I'm about to write in this letter, it did not come from man. In case you were interested in disputing with me, in case you wanted to disagree with me, I'm just going to lay it down and say, what I'm about to say comes from man. So if you want to argue with me, Paul says, you're arguing with God, right? Then he follows in verse 3-5. He follows with his quick greeting. He says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know how sometimes you get into a conversation, you begin a conversation with someone, and you've noticed real quick in the conversation that they're a lot more terse than usual, that they're not saying as much as they usually say. When that happens, unless you're really thick and you're not paying attention, usually when that happens, you know that you're in some kind of trouble with this person, that maybe they're upset with you. Maybe you've done something that upset, whatever it is, you know you're in some kind of trouble because they're not saying a whole lot, not as much as they used to. And you're not sure what that trouble is yet, but you know you're in trouble. And so here's Paul. He's writing a letter, and he says, grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, may I remind you, this is the same Jesus who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this evil age. It's by the will of God the Father, and to him be the glory. Amen. Notice there, in that greeting, there's not a single, we're so encouraged to hear about your faith. Not a single, I thank God for you. Not a single, we've been praying for you, like we see in the other letters, in the letters to the Thessalonians. The letter to the Thessalonians, what does Paul say? He says, I have been boasting about you guys when I go to the other churches. When I start other churches, I am boasting about your faith to the Galatians. None of that. Just a real quick, I'm an apostle. I was sent from God. My authority is from God. Peace to you. Reminder, Jesus died. His blood was shed to save you from your sins. Glory to God. Amen. And that's it. And then he goes right into the issue that he had with the churches in Galatia. The whole reason, one of the reasons at least, the main reason why he's writing this. Jump down now to verse 6. I marvel, right? Paul says, I greet, you know, greetings, peace. And then he goes right into, I marvel. I can't believe that this is happening. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. I can't believe it. The churches in Galatia, brothers and sisters, I can't believe you're doing this. I can't believe that you are turning away so soon. What is turning away so soon? What? So if you look at the original text, the words that were translated turning away so soon, there is the understanding or meaning of falling away, of deserting. So when he says, I can't believe that you're turning away so soon from him who called you, that's God. I can't believe you're turning away so soon from God. I can't believe, this is what Paul's saying, I can't believe that you are falling away from God, that you are deserting God. Those are some very serious words. Imagine if you get a phone call from someone, and the let's say I call you and I say, hi, this is Pastor Jason. Peace be to you from God. And that's all I say. And right away I go into, I can't believe you're doing this. I can't believe you're falling away from God. You understand right away, we're in a lot of trouble here. Right, so Paul says, you're falling away. And what are you falling away from God? What are you turning away from God to? What are you deserting God to? He says, you are turning to a different gospel. And then in verse 7, he says, this different gospel, which is not another. What does he mean by that? He's saying, you're turning away to a different message. But this different message, it's not another gospel. Because what is a gospel? The gospel is good news. The gospel is that Jesus Christ came and he died and he shed his blood for the remission of your sins. He died to redeem you. Jesus is the only way. That is the gospel. Anything else besides that, that they would call a gospel, is not another gospel, because it's not a gospel. It's not good news. It is a perversion, right? So what was happening? A little background, what was happening in the churches in Galatia, many believe after Paul established a church, after he gave them the foundation of the gospel, the truth, after Paul left, because Paul's on a journey, he's going to different places starting churches. After Paul left, what happened was that people, the Jews in that area, started coming in and bringing in their own requirements. Because for years, thousands of years, the Jews have lived under Mosaic law. They have lived under Mosaic law with a list of do's and don'ts. And all of those have significance to explain God's heart toward us, what he desires for us. But they followed the Mosaic laws. And one of the things that was happening in the churches in Galatia was the Jews were coming in and saying, okay, so Paul preached that salvation is in Christ alone, by faith in him alone. But also, you also need to follow the laws of Moses. And that was one of the accusations that people brought against Jesus, that Jesus came and what he preached was to demolish the laws of Moses, to say we don't need it anymore. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. I came to complete the law. I came to obey the law in its entirety so that you don't have to, because you cannot. But through me, Jesus says, through me, you have also attained that perfect righteousness of having obeyed everything in the law. But the Jews were saying, and this is after the resurrection, after Jesus had returned to heaven, when Paul had already established a church, the Jews will come in and say, so believe in Jesus. Good. That's nice that you have faith, but you also need to follow the Mosaic laws. And one of the laws that they were forcing on the church in Galatia was the law of circumcision. You have all these people who were not Jews, who were not circumcised at birth, who have now come to be believers, and they're not circumcised. And the Jews are saying, okay, so there's your problem. Therein lies your problem. You say you believe in Jesus, but you haven't completed all the requirements yet. We still have one more item on your checklist that you haven't done. And so everyone comes, snip, snip. And they were enforcing the law of circumcision. And so then Paul says, there are people who are there to trouble you, who want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Why is saying that you have to obey the Mosaic law? Why is that a perversion of the gospel of Christ? Because what you're saying is belief and faith in Jesus Christ alone is not enough. What you're saying is in addition to, or maybe even in place of faith in Jesus Christ, there are some other things that you need to do. In effect, you are now going to earn your own salvation. You are going to achieve perfection on your own. And what that says is maybe then we don't need Christ at all. Maybe then the blood that he shed on the cross, the death that he died on the cross, that was nice. We appreciate it. It was great of him to die on a cross for us. Thank you very much, Jesus. But we have another way. We have another way to achieve salvation. And so this is a perversion that Paul's talking about. And this is the reason why he's so serious, because it is not just a misunderstanding of a small aspect of doctrine of, oh, do we use one cup or many cups in communion? Or do we gather Sunday morning or Sunday evening? This was at the very core of the gospel. And it was a perversion of that. And how serious is this offense? How serious is this offense of perverting the gospel, of trying to present another gospel which is not the gospel? Paul says this, verse 8, but even if we, so he now says, look, these people, they're perverting the gospel. They're in trouble. But look, churches in Galatia, he says, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So Paul says, even if I were to come to you now, or an angel were to come to you and give you something besides the gospel and to present it as a gospel. Paul says, even if I do it myself, let me be accursed. Let me be, okay, this word accursed, do you know what that means? It's not just saying, oh, curse you, you're gone. No, to be accursed is to be doomed to destruction. That is a very, very severe pronouncement for Paul to have made. And he says, even if I come presenting the wrong gospel, don't just say, oh, but we know Paul. We like Paul. He's known us a long time. Always, always go back to the truth, Paul says. If I come to you preaching the wrong thing, then even I myself or even the angels, we need to be accursed. We need to be doomed to destruction. Verse 10, Paul goes on to say, for do I now persuade men? Do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. If I were here to please man, if my ministry, Paul says, if my ministry was about garnering the favor of man, if my ministry was about pleasing people, I wouldn't be talking about to you about this way. I wouldn't be speaking this way. I would be trying to find a way for these two gospels to coexist, because the more the merrier, right? If only you can come and you know, accept what I'm saying, then I will make room. I will make concessions and allow for a different gospel. Paul says, if I were trying to please man, then I would say that you need God, and you can say that you need someone else. And so, you know, you find God your way, and I'll do it my way, and we're all together, and we're all one happy family, and we're all coexisting together, all these different faiths, all these different ways to reach heaven, nirvana, whatever you want to call it, all paths lead to heaven. And Paul says, nuh-uh, no, this is, I will not compromise. And that's a compromise a lot of times. In this world today, we are hammered on every side to compromise and say, yes, there's a lot of ways. Jesus' way is not the only way. And we're there is no compromise. There is no compromise where we can say everyone goes to heaven. Yay. It doesn't work that way. And so Paul says, that's not the message. In verse 11, he says, but I make known to you, brethren, I make known to you that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. The gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel that I preach, Paul says, it couldn't have come from man because it does not leave room for the goodness of man. The goodness, I put in quotes, because no one is good. But the other gospels that pretend to be gospels out there want to tell us that man is good. That man, if he tries hard enough, if he strives hard enough, that he can attain the goodness that he was meant for. And Paul says, that's not the way it works. If I were to preach for a gospel that came from man, I would leave room for man to be able to find a way to do for himself what he needs to do. Right? And so this, again, brings us back to Paul's introduction. The very first thing that he said in the opening of this letter, he says, I am an apostle, not from men or through man. Because why? Because man is always trying to find his own way. Man is always trying to depend on himself. Look, this morning, all of us gathered here together. Unless you've been living under a rock, you know that the world around us is in chaos. There is a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of doubt. And for quite a few of us, okay, many of us, in the blink of an eye, many things that were important to us were taken away just like that. You know, Jonathan was sharing, he shared with us a month ago, just a month ago, he had a lot of meetings. Very important meetings lined up in his calendar, meetings that he was part of, meetings that were important meetings because they're important to his work. He had school trips that were planned, a lot of things that were supposed to happen, things that were important, things that were of the highest priority of his life, and not without reason. This is his livelihood, so it is important to him. And he shared, he said, in the span of a week, and it wasn't even a slow erosion. In the span of a week, the meetings were canceled, the trips were canceled, and then everything that had been important to him up until then just kind of up and disappeared. It's like with a snap of a finger, it turned to dust. And, you know, my kids, let's see what week, this is the 22nd, a week ago, last Saturday, they had some important tests. Evan was going to take his first SAT. Zoe was going to take her last certificate of merit for piano test, and she was going to be done. These were important milestones in their lives, important tests that they have been working so hard on and studying. And, you know, I have both those events in my calendar because I'm a good father, good father. And I still remember that Friday afternoon, the day before the test, when everything was already kind of falling apart. And I remember asking Alice, I said, wait, so is the SAT canceled? And she said, yeah, that's gone. That's been canceled. What about the CM test? Nope, not happening either. Canceled too. And just like that, one thing after another that's been so important to us, gone. You know, I used to have a certain regimen to my weekly schedule. You know, if you remember, it hasn't been that long, but if you remember, Porchlight, we would have these little bulletins that would have the song lyrics in it and the Bible scripture that we're studying for that day. These bulletins, we send it out to a print shop to get printed. And my routine was I have to send in the files. I have to upload the files by Tuesday at 2 p.m. if I wanted to get those bulletins back on time for use on Sunday. And this deadline, this was part of my routine. It was an anchor in my week. And, you know, last week when things started changing, remember we met here in my house for church on Sunday. And after service, after everyone had left, the gears in my head were already starting to turn. Tuesday, 2 p.m. Tuesday, 2 p.m. Get the songs ready. Get the file ready. Tuesday, 2 p.m. Then come Monday, what happened? Shelter in place. We're not going to meet together anymore. And I remember, I still remember Tuesday morning, I'm sitting there grappling with what's happening. And one thought that kept on going in the back of my head was, 2 p.m. is coming up. 2 p.m. is coming up. And you know, that's an anchor in my week. I needed that to bring a little stability into my life, to know, hey, today's Tuesday. You got to get this done. And today, you've all got your own bulletins. You've got the song lyrics on your screens through PowerPoint that Alice put together this morning. Thank you. And bulletin's gone. My Tuesday, 2 p.m. landmark gone, right? So many things that anchor us in place in this world are slowly, slowly disappearing. And at the center of all this chaos is this nasty little virus. This nasty little virus. And look, of course, man's solution is to find a cure, to find a vaccine, to find something that will help people get better. And we should. I thank God for the people whose minds are much more brilliant than mine, who are out there figuring out how to deal with and combat and treat us against this virus. We definitely should be working on these things. I don't know if you're keeping up with the news, but there's been murmurs about this drug called chloroquine. That's chloroquine. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's a drug that's been used for many years to treat and to prevent malaria. And apparently a month ago, it was already being used in China, and a news article on Jakarta News showed that there was promising results that this drug was able to help people who were suffering from COVID-19. And look, I pray that God gives us a way out of this. And I pray that this drug chloroquine would work, right? But this is the thing. This is the way of man. We work and we work and we work to find a solution. And this is man's responsibility. Like I said, we should be doing that. But there is a whole other side to our life, to our existence. And that is not the physical life that we are working so hard to take care of, but our spiritual life, right? Man, as we live on this earth, we pursue our answers, we pursue our solutions, we pursue our careers, we pursue this, we pursue that, we have meetings, we have trips, we have tests, we have bulletins to do, we have all these things that we do here, but a lot of times what we neglect is our spiritual life. And the question is, how many of us will work just as hard or be as interested in finding a solution for our spiritual life as we are in looking for a solution for the physical life, right? And I believe God definitely speaks to us through these circumstances. I don't think that what's happening right now in the world is for the scientists and the politicians and the humanitarians to deal with alone. I think each and every one of us as Christians, we are called to pay attention to what's happening, and we are called to be still. Not just to be still and know that the Lord is God, but to be still and to listen to his still, small voice. Because God speaks through these circumstances. God speaks to us. Look, if our concerns, okay, for us as Christians, we are called, we have a mandate from the Lord to take care of our families. Yes, we need to take care of our families. And that's our responsibility. So if you've got a family, make sure your family has enough food to eat. Make sure your family doesn't get sick. Do the responsible thing. Take care of your family. But if our concern stops there, if we erect a border around our own family unit and we have no concern for those outside of those walls, those borders, then I would say we have not lived as God has called us to. There's always, in these situations especially, there's always going to be that tension. This is Alice's word, and I love that word. There's going to be that tension that pulling between helping ourselves, which is our responsibility, which we should do, a tension between helping ourselves and helping others. To put this into perspective so you understand, let us suppose, okay, Jonathan, let us suppose that you have four rolls of toilet paper left. Count it, one, two, three, four. That'll last you probably 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks if you're frugal. And let's say you have those four rolls of toilet paper and Peter comes up to you and he says, my dear brother, I have none. What do you do? What do you do? John, spiritual man, very holy, listens to God. Here, Peter, these four rolls, they are my precious, but I give them all to you. I don't think Gloria would be too happy. I don't think Christian would be too happy either. On the other hand, Jonathan, if you were to say, I'm sorry, Peter, but, you know, I got to take care of my family. We have our own needs. You're sorry. I'm sorry. You're out of luck. You got to go out and forage. There's fine leaves. Just don't use poison ivy or poison oak. Fine leaves that, you know, Boy Scouts, they taught us to. There's these two extremes. One extreme is I'm going to give everything away, in which case your family's not going to survive. Well, you can survive without toilet paper, but you know what I mean. But one extreme is you give everything away and no, absolutely no thought of yourself. The other extreme is we have these walls, these borders, and we are going to protect us and our own. And that's it. Everybody else around us, sorry. I hope you went to Costco before they ran out of supplies, right? We live, and that's a tension. We live somewhere in that middle, and we are constantly navigating. How do we take care of ourselves and take care of others around us? We cannot only focus ourselves, and it wouldn't be wise to deplete our own resources to take care of others unless God's called you to do that. And that's happened before. Story for another day. There are saints who have been called to give everything, and God says, don't worry, I'll take care of you. And so if God calls you to that, then listen. But look, we live somewhere in that beautiful tension of how do I help my family and how do I help others? How do I take care of me and how do I think for others? And if you think, Jason, you're just pulling this out of nowhere and this is a nice thing to say in this time of chaos. No, this is from the Bible. This is from God's word. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, if you don't believe me. Let each of you look out, not only for his own interest, so take care of yourself, but also for the interests of others. Take care to look out for your own interests, but not only that, look out for the interests of others. This is our call as Christians. This is our call from God. This is the word of God. Look, one day, this will be over. This too shall pass. That's about all the idioms I have for expressing that thought. But one day, this will all die down. It'll be over. When this is all over, right? When this crisis is over, when we return to some semblance of normalcy in our lives, I hope people don't remember you as the person or the family who had the best stocked refrigerator and pantry during this time and lived well only on your own. I hope people remember you for how you chose to think for others, how you chose to help others who maybe aren't as able to help themselves. Our natural inclination, the way of man is to erect the walls and to stockpile and hunker down and just try to survive. Me, myself, and I, and maybe my family. But let me ask you this question. Where do you place your hope? Where is your foundation laid? Is it in this world and what the world can supply us? Is it in the kindness of others in the world? Or is our trust, you know, it reminds me of this song that we sing, right? My hope is built on nothing less than CDC and chloroquine. I dare not trust the quarantine, but wholly lean on the vaccine. Is that how we live? That we put all of our trust on man and humanity and their wisdom and intelligence? We should trust them to give us medicine, but there has to be a deeper trust to how we live, to how we make our daily decisions, especially now How do we live for others? Look, the other gospel, which is not a gospel, tells us this. Every man for himself. Every man for himself, and man can always find a way. But Paul says this, my message does not come from man. My message comes from Jesus Christ and from God. And my message is this, says Paul, that man cannot save himself, that Jesus alone can save. My message is this, says Paul, that man is called to love God. And my message is this, says Paul, that man is also called to love one another. If we shelter in place and only love God, if we shelter in place and say, it's just me and you, God, I don't need to worry about everyone else, then you have missed 50% of what God commanded us, because everything that God commanded us was summed up in these two commandments, the greatest of which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the other, just as great, is love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the message I want to bring this morning. Not from me, not even from the Wu family, but from God. I pray that this is authorized by God, and it is. It is from His Word that we are called to love each other, especially in these times. Again, in the face of all that's going on around us, how do you choose to be remembered? How do you choose to respond? I hope that you, each every one of you, watching on Zoom, watching on YouTube, on Facebook, my family here in this room, I pray that we choose God's way. I pray that in this crisis that we choose to respond as God has called us to. And then at the end of your days, when the world remembers you, at the end of your days, when the world remembers you, may their reaction be what we find at the end of this chapter that Paul wrote to the Galatians. In verse 24, what does Paul say? And they glorify God in me. I pray for each and every one of us, as we choose to live our days now, day by day. This is how we gotta go. We gotta go day by day, because we don't know what tomorrow brings. But day by day, as we live, do we choose God's way? Do we exemplify who God is? Do we exemplify His sacrificial love? Do we show the world who Jesus is through the way that we share? Don't share germs. But there's plenty more we can share. We can share our time, visit each other virtually for now. We can share our resources. If someone doesn't have food, drop off some food for them. There's lots of ways we can answer God's calling. But the challenge for us is this. At the end of our days, or when this crisis is over, when people look at us, when people look at you as an individual, are they going to glorify God in you? I pray that they do. Let us bow our heads to pray. Lord, these are very challenging times. I pray, Lord, that the bigger challenge that we all face is, do we live for you? And so, Lord, inspire us, Lord, to live for you. Place always before our eyes your own example, your sacrificial love of how you went to the cross and died for us with no regard for your own life. Holy Spirit, come, Lord, and enable us, each and every one of us. Look, Jesus, we have fears. We have worries. We have doubts. But Lord, may we be able to bring all those cares and place them at your feet, Lord, and to say, here is my life, Jesus, do with it as you will. Make us a peculiar people for you, Lord, in this time. Make us a peculiar people, Lord, that the world will look to and say, oh, that's weird. That's different. Lord, help us. Help us to be able to live for you. Help us to be able to follow your way and not man's way. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.